Welcome to Seth Gardman on Podcast, from startup to stock exchange.
Good afternoon and welcome to the podcast, Startup to Stock Exchange. Today, I think you're all in for a real treat. This is a company that is going to give us some insights into, a couple of different things. So today we have Brent Lucas. Brent is the CEO of a company called Envoy Medical. For those of you that want to follow it, NASDAQ, ticker symbol COCH. And what's interesting about this company, and we're going to get into it, is that this is a company that went the route of a SPAC merger. So we're going to touch on that. And this is also a company, and I'm personally interested in this, that is not an overnight success. In fact, the company was founded in 1955, if I'm correct about that. And we'll talk about
95. It's not that
95? By the way, Google is wrong. It said 1955. All right. We're going to come back to that. 1995. It's still a feat, right? I mean, in today's world, people want literally overnight success. And what's most important, and I think that's going to be the takeaway from this conversation with Brent today, is that, you know, this is truly a company that is making the world a better place. And I think you're going to want to hear about it, no pun intended. So, Brent, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you. It's good to see you, Seth. Glad to be on.
Me too. Why don't we kick off by telling people what Envoy Medical is, what you do, and then we'll sort of back into how you got to where you are.
Sure. So Envoy Medical is a hearing health company. And by that, I mean we make hearing implants. So we have two hearing implants. We have an FDA-approved product that we call the Esteem. That is a fully implanted active middle ear implant. And then we have an investigational device currently in clinical trials at Mayo Clinic. That is the Acclaim, and that is a fully implanted cochlear implant. And that will be, one of the first fully implanted cochlear implants in the market. And we're pretty excited about that. So at the end of the day, we are different from what other hearing companies have because we don't use a microphone, A, and B, the two products we have are fully implanted. And by that, I mean, there's nothing on the outside of your head, nothing worn in your ear. Everything is truly fully internal. So we are fully implanted devices.
That is certainly unique. What would be some of the advantages other than cosmetic of having it implanted versus outside?
Sure. So I actually think the cosmesis or the vanity, some people call it a vanity or getting rid of the stigma. I actually think those are some of the smaller reasons. And the reason I say that is because when you talk to patients who have had hearing loss for a long period of time, they've had to wear hearing aids. They've had to deal with the day-to-day battery changes or spending $4,000 to $5,000 on a pair of decent hearing aids only to have them break when they get stuck in the rain. So the fact that it's fully implanted for our Esteem device, we know this very well because it's been on the market since 2010. We hear from patients that say things like just to being able to hear at night, being able to hear the alarm go off in the morning or a fire alarm go off in the middle of the night. I'm not scared when I sleep in a hotel because I know that I'm going to hear if somebody comes in the room. I mean, things that I who don't have hearing loss, we don't think about that, right?
Right.
Another story is I heard a gentleman talk about how he could just be spontaneous in life, meaning he could jump off a boat into the water if he wanted to. He could go on a motorcycle ride, not have to think about it, go play golf, not have to think about his external devices. So I really think the beauty of the fully implanted, and you see this in other therapies such as sleep apnea with a company that I always like to bring up, Inspire Medical. You see it even in pacemakers, where pacemakers, remember, used to be like on the countertop. They used to be like, you know, these massive carts, and now they're the size of a pill. And it's not the vanity. It is just the quality of life benefits. I mean, the vanity has something to do with it. I mean, let's not kid ourselves. But the real true beauty of a fully implanted system is that it allows you the benefit of living without being tethered to your hearing loss. The other benefit that I'll bring up is by using the ear, you get the natural benefit of how the ear evolved. So localization, meaning if I'm in a room now, my kids are downstairs fighting, I know they're downstairs fighting, right? I can my ears kind of pick that sound up. Where if I'm just using a microphone, it's just picking up the noise. I don't know where it's coming from.
Interesting.
So with our Esteem device, we've had a lot of anecdotal reporting from our patients that say, I can hear more naturally because I'm using my ear. I'm not using a microphone. And we hope that happens with the Acclaim. Being an FDA product and in clinical trials, we have to see how things play out. But there's a lot of reasons to be optimistic that there should be some benefit from using your ear.
And let me take a step back because as you had mentioned, Brent, you and I don't have that experience, thank God, of hearing loss. I think one thing that we both share in common is that we're recovering attorneys, and we don't necessarily focus on that. So the question in my mind, and probably the mind of the listener, and for what it's worth, just so you know, a lot of the people listening to this podcast are it's actually a wide variety. It could be college students, it could be entrepreneurs, people that are launching startups, to many publicly traded CEOs. And the question is, how do you get from going to law school to running a public company in this regard? What give us a little bit of insight into that journey.
Sure. Yeah. And I apologize. It's going to be a little bit of a long journey here. Because as you mentioned, the company was founded in 1995. I was in middle school at the time, but my father was one of the first people to write a check for the company. It used to be called St. Croix Medical back then. And they were just at the very beginning of creating a product that was, and the whole reason the company was started is it wanted to use the ear to pick up sound, not an artificial microphone. My father's a PhD by biochemist, and so he just really fell in love with that idea. I always joke that I was supposed to. I never thought I'd work at the company. I was just waiting to get my trust fund and figure out how I was going to blow all the money. But things didn't quite work out that way. And so by the time I was in law school, I knew I didn't want to be a lawyer. I really found business interesting, transactions interesting. Also very driven to the sciences, so really interested in biology. I just didn't know how to put it all together though. And so I interned at the company during my first year of law school and fell in love with the opportunity. Started by actually setting up a nonprofit for the company back then. It was called Help Me Hear, and it was going to help children hear. In developing countries, we were going to provide assistance to them. Didn't work out because I couldn't get people to give me the free hearing devices. Turns out manufacturers don't like to give you free stuff. But I fell in love with the technology. I fell in love with helping people hear. It's really a dramatic impact on people's lives. So I guess fast forward a little bit. I finished law school, started out as the general counsel. Which was pretty interesting to be the fresh out of law school and be the general counsel for a medical device company. But I learned quickly.
Sort of sink or swim.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, my first couple of meetings, as a real lawyer, we're dealing with some pretty significant issues, FDA rules and regulations, and I got to sit in board meetings very quickly as an attorney. And then also I became the corporate secretary. So through that process, kind of became disillusioned. I'll just try to briefly go over this part. I became disillusioned with some of the other executives at the company and resigned in protest, even though my father was the chairman of the board at the time. And in doing so, actually gained a tremendous amount of respect from some of the other investors involved with the company that were like, I can't believe you took a ethical stand to do that. Then they got rid of some of those managers, and then I came back in 2012, went through another series of CEOs, but again, didn't want to be a lawyer. So what I did was I went to the CEO at the time and I said, look, I want to carry a bag. Put me in the field. I don't want to be a lawyer anymore. I know I have to give up being, I'm one of the executives, but I want to just put me in the field. I want to see what's going on. And so he did that. I think he thought I would quit, which he probably wanted because my father was his boss as the chairman. But I didn't. I actually liked it more and became really close to some of the surgeons and the audiologists and got to understand the problems with what we were doing and how we were positioning the product. And again, just fell deeper and deeper into love with the organization. I just couldn't see it fail because I believed in it so much. And so we ran into some hurdles in 2015. And we needed to understand, are we going to go out of business or are we going to do something different? And I suggested, along with one of my good friends, and I almost consider him a business partner, Paul. We went down into to Mr. Glenn Taylor, and we said, look, if you give us funding, we will give you and this company a fully implanted cochlear implant that will change the world. I don't know why he said yes. It was a 30-minute conversation.
Really?
We just went from there. And so for the last, let's see, what is it, 2024 now? Oh my goodness. So it's almost been 10 years. We've been after that. We built the cochlear implant. Everybody said we could not. They were sure we wouldn't be able to do it. So we built it. We've now put it in three human beings at Mayo Clinic. And my favorite part about being at Mayo Clinic is the surgeon there, Dr. Colin Driscoll. When I first told him we were going to do this project back in 2016, he said, I like you, but there's no way you're ever going to make a cochlear implant. These are very hard to
Really?
make. Yeah. And over time, we convinced him. We used him as an advisor. We made him aware of our designs and why we were doing it. And now he was willing to put his career and patients in the study. And he implanted our first three patients. We've turned them on. And so far, we know we have some more tweaks, but all three patients are reporting statistically improved quality of life, which is what I was, which is really the true benefit of hearing devices. So pretty excited about things. So I guess I didn't set out in a straight line. It really was more about just kind of figuring it out as I went and trying to do what was best for the company and best for the shareholders at all times, and things just led in the right direction.
I think it's just important to highlight that, first of all, it seems that throughout that path, you always just really pursued what you were passionate about. And I think that's one lesson for everybody listening. And the other thing that I want to highlight, and it's so important because, as I said at the beginning, everybody thinks that success, should or could happen overnight. Not only did it take, 2 decades for this to happen, but even more importantly, 10 years ago, you guys were ready to just call it a day, close the doors. And sometimes it's at those points of struggle where, it's the Hail Mary and you meet, Glenn Taylor and everything turns around. And here you are with this success story. So I think that's really important. Let me ask you, it sounded like you've played many roles throughout this journey with the company, but even in this role as CEO, how do you juggle, and I've asked this question to others, the dual role of running a business and running a public company? That's two entirely different hats. Do you find it easy? Is it not? Or like what's an average day look like for you?
Sure. So I'm relatively new to the public company side. We became a public company at the end of I think the end of September, first part of October of last year. So I'm learning on the fly a little bit. I would say one of the realities of becoming a public company CEO is the investor relations, or are the investor relations side of things, which you don't have as much of with the private company. With a private company, you know your shareholders, and we actually had about 500 shareholders, which is a lot for a private
It is
company.
a
But
lot, yeah.
yeah, but I knew them. I knew their names. I knew their stories. I knew when they invested, why they invested.
Wow.
Now I don't, unless they're over 5% and they have to register.
Right.
So a lot more time spent on sort of the investor relations side and thinking about that. I would say that I'm very lucky to have a good team. And if I did not have that team, or if I did not have the advisors I have around me, I would be in a tough spot. So if I were to do this again, I think one of the things I would have done earlier is to build out the executive team a little earlier, get a couple more managers
That's good advice. Yeah.
in charge of the departments, because really when you turn the switch, it becomes different very quickly. Everybody wants to talk to you about, the stock or what's your capital needs. What are you going to do to X, Y, and Z? Obviously, the regulatory differences from an SEC standpoint become different. So I
Sure.
think I would have built out the team a little earlier. That would probably be my advice.
And among those different roles, I read someplace that that hearing loss as a whole is, I think they said, is the third most prevalent chronic health condition in the US. And so with that, I know that Envoy has done a great job and continues to deal with lobbying and advocacy. Is that a big part of the mission right now?
Yes. So I actually spend a lot of my time and have been spending a lot of my time over the last couple of years working on understanding the hearing loss challenges for reimbursement. So we have, I mentioned the Esteem. The Esteem is not covered by insurance currently because CMS calls it improperly, calls it a hearing aid. And for those who are unaware, hearing aids are statutorily excluded from hearing loss or from Medicare coverage. So over the years, cochlear implants, osseointegrated implants, and auditory brainstem implants have been exempted from that exclusion. So it's like a double negative to get coverage. So I've been working on that for fully implanted active middle ear implants, and we were. I've spent some money with some really smart people to help me through this process, but we were able to get a bill introduced. I can't remember, it was about 3 weeks ago, that will change that, will sort of make Congress is going to make CMS not call us a hearing aid because CMS won't do it by itself. So,
That's really big. That's really, wow. I was not
yeah,
aware of that.
no.
That's
Yeah,
quite
so it's a
real
big
change.
change, and we got something introduced in the House, and now we have to get it introduced in the Senate and then advocate for it. And it's a hard road. I mean, it is challenging. You have to talk to staffers of every office, and you have to explain why this matters to their constituents. So that's been an interesting thing that I've also been working on quite a bit and feel comfortable with it. Again, now that we have a great CFO, David R. Wells, and I recently hired a general counsel, Karen Simonson, who's been great to help me not pretend to be a lawyer anymore. So now I can push all the stuff I don't like to do off to her. We have a great controller, Pam Johnson, great VP of R&D, Tom Hoig. So we've got a really good, solid team. And if I had that team a little earlier, I think that would have been great. We also, aforementioned Paul, remains an advisor to the business and has been extremely helpful. So it really is a group effort. It is not, no single person can do it all alone.
Well, it's refreshing, I think, because I and a lot of listeners, you hear about different products that are just one of many, and each one tries to distinguish themselves by saying we're cheaper, we're faster, we're more nimble. You seem to be in a category all to yourself, so kudos to you for that. I saw you were on Fox Business yesterday. You did a great job. Is there anything that that you can tell us from a compliance standpoint, what we can expect over the next 6 to 12 months, something to look forward to, and what we should keep our eye out on in terms of developments?
Sure. I will say I learned a couple of things about Fox Business Network
Wait,
there, that experience. One is, and I know you're a big proponent of this, so
did they
you've
put
been
on a
trying.
lot of makeup? I want to know. Did they put on a lot of makeup?
Well, I did it via Zoom. So I can't say.
Okay.
I wish I would have put more makeup on, honestly, after I looked at myself on the screen. But no, I think one of the things that I've learned, and I've touched on a few times, is how important investor relations are for a new public company, especially one that didn't have a lot of recognition as a private business, right? And we didn't go on a traditional roadshow ahead of our entrance into becoming a public market. So nobody really knew about us. And I am just like profoundly aware now that my main job over the next 6 to 12 months is going to be to tell people who we are and what we have to offer and why hearing loss is important to think about and to invest in. And if you want to go long in hearing loss, Envoy Medical is a pretty good place to put your bet on the fact that hearing loss is, as you mentioned, the third most chronic disability in the United States. It affects about 500 million people, and so and globally. If you look at the US, it's closer to 48 million, I believe. So we get to a point where you realize something is going to change where people are going to pay more attention to hearing loss, and it's not just going to be cardiology or on call. And those are all important things I'm not trying to take away at all. But in my space, in medical device, everybody thinks cardiology, they think oncology, wound care, things like that. And here Envoy is going to be one of, if not the only, hearing loss company listed on a major American exchange. I mean, you can't. Our competitors are all international. They're not based here in America. So, or owned and operated in America. So yeah. No, I in terms of things to look forward to, you're going to see my bald, beautiful head on other outlets, hopefully. And we're also going to be enrolling in our clinical trial this year. We're going to hopefully be starting and enrolling in our ACCLAIM clinical trial, which, if we do it the way that I think we can do it, we would be the first in that process. So I think there's a lot of things to look forward to. And then obviously we're going to continue to push the Esteem reimbursement topic forward, and hopefully now that we have a crack in the dam, we're going to get expand that, and that should be really, really good for patients everywhere and ultimately
Fantastic.
good for society.
Amazing. Amazing. Brent, I love the story. We definitely share that in common, that we recognize the importance of storytelling, getting it out there. You do a great job of it. So thank you for sharing it with listeners. Please send my best to David.
I will.
Forward to seeing you at the next conference. And I more importantly, I hope that you'll come back in 6 months or 12 months, and it'll give us a further update of everything that's been going on.
Oh, I'd love to. One of the parts I liked about going public was getting to know you. So,
Oh,
I
thank you. We're going to edit that part out. No. All
yeah.
right.
No,
Thanks,
it's been a pleasure. So I
Brent.
appreciate it and appreciate the opportunity.
Awesome. Thanks.